Welcome back, everybody. It's Live and Local for Lunch here on Integrity Radio, WINT. I'm Steve Newman. Thanks for dropping by every Monday through Friday from noon until 1 o'clock. Why don't you make it a regular habit, just like lunch? Join us for Live and Local for Lunch. Speaking of things to eat, are you a vegan or are you a carnivore? Joining us on our WINT Live line right now, we have Renee King-Sonnen. She is the executive director and founder of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary, which is designed to avoid taking animals to slaughter. Thanks for dropping by, Renee.
Hi there. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
I'm okay. Now, you've got an interesting story because you married a guy who was in the cattle ranching business, raising cattle, beef cattle to sell for slaughter to turn into steaks and hamburgers and what have you. What happened?
Yeah, that's what I did. I married him the second time. My husband comes from a generational pool of cattle ranching, and he had gotten into it the second time we got married, and I'm from Texas, a bona fide dyed-in-the-wool rodeo, you know, going, boot-wearing, barbecue-eating girl. That's, the way I started. Mm-hmm. And when I moved to the ranch, I started falling in love with the cows, and I had no idea that I was going to do that because, of course, you're not supposed to fall in love with what you eat, you know, if you're going to be eating.
Yeah, that's not a good combination.
No, it wasn't. So that's kind of like what happened is I started getting a connection to the cows, and I was very disturbed by it all, and this was not planned.
So you ended up creating a sanctuary, actually turning your ranch into a sanctuary. People must have thought you were a little bit crazy.
Well, you know, CBS Evening News came out, and because, you know, the story got out, and yet people did think I was crazy because I'd sing to the cows, and of course, I was able to really connect with them. After about 6 years, it took me about 6 years. I had a showdown in the pasture with my husband. He was getting ready to take a big trailer load full of calves to the sale barn like he always does twice a year. And I was putting my foot down and said, you know, I'd already gone vegan by that time. October 31st, 2014 was the day. But I said, if you take that trailer up the road one more time, I'm going to follow it, and I'll follow it to the sale barn. I'll buy every one of them back with your credit card. And if that doesn't work, you can pick me up in jail because you ain't taking them anymore.
Wow.
And, you know, it was a true metamorphosis for me. And anyway, one thing led to the other, and he ended up letting me buy his cows, and I had a crowdfunding campaign that he never thought I would complete, and I raised $36,000 in less than 4 months and bought my husband's cow.
What do you say to people who will give you the argument that, you know, that's what God created these animals for, you know, to feed us, that this is part of his plan?
Well, you hear that argument all the time, and, you know, God, honestly, the original intention, if we're going to talk about the Bible, was Eden. Eden was vegan. And that was the intent of the original idea that God had for us all, was for us all cohabitate. And I assure you that at the end of the day, if that story is true, there will be no slaughterhouses in heaven. So there's a lot of discussion, I'm always talking about it with people. You know, there's so many verses in the Bible that completely contradict the idea that eating animals is good. I mean, I know that God let them, according to the Bible, eventually he let us eat animals because, you know how humans are. They have to end up having all their desires fulfilled. And I think God just kind of bent with us every now and again.
Interesting. aside from the obvious benefit of saving these animals, is there a benefit, in your opinion, to a vegan lifestyle, a meatless lifestyle?
There are so many benefits to a vegan lifestyle. Number one, there is so much carcinogens in processed meat. I mean, the statistics today are staggering.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of chemicals and antibiotics and hormones and things like that. That's very true.
Yeah. And so the big turn right now is that when you see companies like Tyson buying into a plant-based meat company, they bought into Beyond Meat, you know, the company companies are beginning to see the market trending towards plant-based food options. And so, you know, we only have one planet Earth, and the environment is crucial to our, you know, us cohabitating together on this planet. And we have completely taken animal agriculture, you know, just off the charts with the way that we consume animal products. So it's got to be, something's got to be done. The environment is really suffering, and our health.
So what do you say to these people whose families, their lives, their incomes, their futures are dependent upon, you know, cattle and the beef industry, the pork industry? What are they supposed to do?
Well, you know, what I say to them is what, you know, we were former, you know, cattle ranchers. That's what my husband, you know, he had the ranch, and I know how hard it was. He wanted me to get out of his business. He's now a vegan, and, you know, he started out plant-based. But what I would say to those people is most every rancher I've ever talked to loves their animals. They love their animals, and they slaughter them because that's the way it's always been. It's mm-hmm. tradition. It's culture. The world is changing. We are currently developing a program called the Rancher Advocacy Program, wherein we've got a think tank full of folks that can really help ranchers, if they want to change, make decisions so that they can still have a livelihood. So, you know, we've got to start looking at the future, because we can't keep mm-hmm. consuming the planet by using animals. It's not sustainable. It will not continue to work. So we are developing programs for ranchers for that very reason.
Have you seen the research that's come out recently indicating there are ways to create artificial meat, basically, from just a petri dish, if you will, to put it in its simplest terms? Have you followed that at all?
Absolutely, I have. I've been to conferences and actually, you know, met some of the folks that are making that happen. I absolutely have. It's got to happen. You know, I personally wouldn't want to consume animals made in a petri dish because I'm so far removed from the need for animal flesh as part of my, you know, diet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great option for, you know, your typical carnivore that's trying to make a difference.
That's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. One final question I have for you. What about, like, kids today? You know, you've got so many county fairs. You got organizations like the Future Farmers of America, 4-H, for example. And these kids come to the fair with animals that they've raised, and they get sold, and they're going off to auction to a slaughterhouse. How impactful have you been in reaching kids at that early age?
Well, I'll tell you, it's very interesting. Kids have contacted us because they've heard about us, and we've actually rescued a number of huge hogs. I mean, we have three 650-pound hogs right now, Penny, Gizmo, and Roo, that are all from the FFA programs. We have a program called Families Choosing Compassion that is a direct result of a particular family that came in with Gizmo, and their entire family went vegan except for the dad. And, you know, it's definitely, these kids, you know, they love these animals, and they're taught in these programs, which have all great intentions, I know. I mean, I used to date a FFA boy. You know, it's great intentions, but at the end of the day, they're taught to let go of this animal that they've taken care of, brushed, groomed, fed. You know, it's got a personality, they've named it, and now it's time to let it go into the so-called circle of life. And, you know, and I've talked to these kids. Some of them are just forever, you know, emotionally traumatized by that event, you know. And so, you know, it's something that we've all got to look at. We've got to start the discussion. And that's one of the biggest issues right now, is we tend to not want to see how, you know, in other words, you wouldn't take kids on a field trip to a slaughterhouse. It's okay to let them go to the slaughterhouse, you know, your animals go, but let's not take the kids all the way to the slaughterhouse and see how it's done. These kind of things are hidden from us. And as a Texan, when I started seeing firsthand how these animals were being treated, that's when something in me started to break. It took 6 years for me to break because I'm so conditioned by my by culture and tradition, just like everybody else is out there.
Sure. Well, it's certainly a fascinating story. Where can people get more information about your journey from slaughterhouse to animal rescue?
Well, our website is rowdygirlsanctuary.org. rowdygirlsanctuary.org. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
rowdygirlsanctuary.org. We've been talking to Renee King-Sonnen. She is the director and founder of the Rowdy Girl Sanctuary that are saving animals from slaughter and keeping them in sanctuary. Well, thank you so much for dropping by and sharing your story with us. Definitely interesting.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Thanks, Renee.